Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. I'm your host, Mick Wall. Very happy to be here. Group 1 racing was back last weekend. This weekend, we head to the Valley, of course. Got Simon Marshall, got Julian Valance here. Guys, I'm very, very excited. You're very conservatively dressed, Julesy. I'm looking for some chaps and some cowboy boots under there. They're the only thing to explain it. How are we going, gentlemen?
Mick, up and about, fantastic. You look terrific in the baby blue, the navy blue and the kicks. Nick's cap on, I should say. Geez, I tell you what... Can you smell that, punters? Spring is in the air, a little bit of sunshine, a little bit of coconut all downwind, and back to the valley. Rail in the truth. It's going to be fast there on Saturday, Julesy.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I think we've got pretty good conditions. Nick's going all right too, aren't they, Wooly?
That's why I'm wearing it, Julesy. Playoffs, Nick's. Bit of irony there. All right, Julesy, we'll start with you, mate. Track report, obviously focusing on the valley.
Yeah, so we go back into the true here at Moonee Valley. Good four at the moment, and I think we'll stay in that range. Look, there is a bit of a westerly wind, 15 to 20 k's, but nothing to worry about, especially at Moonee Valley. It'll be across them in the straight, but it's going to have no impact on how these races are run and won. We go back into the true. Now, 2 weeks ago, our meeting was abandoned after race five, I think it was, just to being so wet, and it was out 5 metres. So we're back into the true, and here's the information that you sort of want here, punters, how you want to be working the spaces you want to be working with. Wind strike rate, 21% for leaders. Now, that's bang on the Australian average. Then on pace at 16%. Those sort of first four, five, six off pace is around 23%. And as we get slowly a bit, little bit further down, I will say off midfield and back markers. So the last sort of four or five in running is a little bit higher wind strike rate than the Australian average of around 12% and 7%. So, look, I think this track will play as fairly as Moonee Valley can play. I'm just a little bit worried about that rail coming back from that sort of fresh ground in the first 5 metres SD.
They chewed it up really with a heavy 10, Julesy, out wide. So how wide do you need to be before you hit that if you're rounding them up?
Well, I think like lanes five, from lanes five onwards, you're in trouble, I would have thought. Wear and tear will be severe, I would have thought. And you would think those first five lanes will be in play and be the position to be.
So your return on investment as we dive deeper into the valley and Mickey Wall is obviously you've got to be on speed, obviously you've got to dictate turns, but that alarming fact that it was a heavy 10 and that it was a ploughed paddock from five horses off this inside rail is a big concern. Do we need to hold our power early, just as an early question to you without answer, and see how this track races?
Yeah, I think so. I think the best case is obviously stay agile. I want to be working off that base, though, that I want to be sort of in the first four or five, I think. Usually the valley can play okay. I will say, if your horse is worse than midfield, we've got small fields on Saturday as well, so maybe they won't get into, even if you're swinging wide, you won't be getting into that five out five lanes deep. So maybe that's way. But I think to begin with, let's start, you know, we're going to be as fair as we can be at Moonee Valley.
There you go, Jules. And with the small fields as well, if you are on the rail there in your court, often a gap will open up. So I'll tell you what, we spoke about the myths versus fact last week. And one of the myths or facts that is in racing, of course, is you've got to lead at the valley. 49% ROI, Jules. I think that's where you want to be. Now, hot jocks, hot trainers, Benny Malham. Absolutely flying, Jules.
Yeah, we've identified him probably three or four times and since this show's come back. He's just had a stellar probably 3 or 4 months, to be honest. 11 from 39 going at 28%, but 5 from his last 11 going at 45.5%. I thought his ride last week in particular, SD on Al Ghulail, was sensational in that he held and probably had Order of the Garter behind him and didn't go too early to let Order of the Garter get off his back and get out after him. I thought that was a great ride. He's just riding really well. He's doing his homework, as we say, and here are his rides on Saturday.
Well, if you're following Ben Malham, you're going to get value, that is for sure. Akinar Star first up, can roll forward, sit on speed, tick. Streets of Avalon, it's a bit of a roughie in the feature, the Group 2 Fiend at 9.50. And outside of that, well, he's going to have to produce some magic out of the bag of tricks, that is for sure. But I'll just say about Ben Malham, he's riding under a cloud at the moment. There's a massive inquiry coming up into some betting activities that he's been charged with, at least five of them, but he's handling the pressure extremely well and he's making every post the winner. So hats off to you, Benny, while you're going through this tough period.
Yeah, very well said, SD. Now, Jamie Carr, another one that is going very well, Jules.
Yeah, 17 from her last 68 at 25%. We drill down further, 10 from her last 29 at 34.5%. And what we've found in the last couple of weeks as well is if it's first time Jamie on a horse or Jamie's going off a horse, the market's trending for those kinds of horses. So anytime Jamie Carr's going on a horse, the market wants to be with heavily. So the pros are obviously in this space. They've found Jamie Carr. We've spoke about it many times, SD. Beautiful hands, great seat. She just get horses to travel so well for her. And Moonee Valley, that's a track too, because it's so tight. I think she rides really well there.
Right, so Shandy's in really good form and placed well here. La Tiger Wrestler will take a sit, you would imagine. Odeon can roll forward on speed. Balabala sits on speed and Agreeable will take a sit, but a good show of money. Just watch the track pattern with Agreeable. If anyone can get her out of trouble, it'll be Jamie Carr the way she's going.
There you go, Julesy. And you speak about the pros will get involved. So I'm not saying it's guaranteed, but if you're 50-50 on whether you want to back early on the fixed or on starting price, with Jamie Carr's first up ride on a horse, you're probably better off taking the early price.
I think so. I think those early prices will be the best. They'll be better than the SP for sure.
Very good. Now, trainers. Julesy, who we got?
Yeah, we're going with Price and Kent Jr. This is a stable, again, who have been really going well for a prolonged period of time, but they just keep racking up good numbers. 11 from their last 39 at 28%. And they're willing to take their horses anywhere, and especially their young crop of three-year-olds, I think, are coming through. And they've got a few, obviously, on Saturday in the Atlantic Jewel SD that match up really well to see if they can take that progression from Provincial to Moonee Valley. But look, there's a couple of horses there at big prices, but gee, they're a camp that just goes so well. They place their house of horses well. I can't be discarding any of them, really.
His Cumberbatch was good, looked beaten, lifted the last bit. I like that horse over a trip. Heptagong, he'll need this run. It's a bit short for him. Night Raid, Gypsy's Choice. Night Raid, the better of them out of race 7 and Odim, is at $26. Night Raid, bit of a boom for this horse after its Tatura win last start in the deep end, but geez, it was impressive.
Sure was, and we'll get to him. I'll get to her very shortly when we talk about that race, the Atlantic Jewel.
All right, very good. Okay, we're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to get stuck into all the racing at the Valley. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. We'll jump into the racing from the Valley, and we'll have a look at race one to kick things off. And your favourite here is How Womantic at $2.70, Bonds Abroad at $5.50, Cordilla at the $6, La Tigressa and Fabric both at $11, Gentico at $12, Call Me Royal $14, and just over the page there, Palmy at $16 seems a little bit big. Lady Loft at $18, Benetoit at $23. Julesy, we spoke about small fields. It's not tiny, but it's definitely not big either.
Yeah, only 10 in the race here, Wally, as you mentioned. Not a lot of speed on paper at all here, punters. I think Lady Loft can go forward. How Womantic holds the key here of what this horse does. If they're fair dinkum and they want to win this race, this horse will roll forward from that inside alley and be able to control this race. Gentico is an interesting horse. It might roll forward. I didn't know what they would do, but I thought it could possibly put a little bit of extra pace into this race. But other than that, a lot of these horses want to be negative neutral. So I think that sets up for How Womantic. It is off 182 days, but this is a horse that's won 4 from 5. It won its first 4 starts. I know the blinkers come off, but it's only really they put the blinkers on last time when it failed behind Ruby Saki. So I'm not concerned with the blinkers going off for this horse, off the spell. We know it can win first up. Its 1,200-metre record is very good. I love its versatility. It can win in slowly run races, but also fast run races. I think its second win was 3/4 of a second inside standard time. So if this horse is ready to rumble, and the market will tell us on the day, this is a horse that at the moment is $2.70. If it stays with a 2 in front of it, I want to be with the horse. I couldn't get it that short. I marked it around $3, but I still think there's a big gap between that and my second pick at $9. So I've put it on top. But I want to see market support for it. Otherwise, if it's drifts back out to a $5 to $2, $3.50, I'll be a little bit worried that it might not be there, even with Lockie Neindorf, the 2 kilos off. So it'll be interesting to see what the market does. But I just think this horse has got everything in its favour. As long as it's there, it should be winning How Womantic.
It's really interesting because she won 4 in a row. She went from a maiden to Group 3 level, Julesy, in her first preparation, and then they stretched her out and tripped and then spelled after failing. I think they're trying to work out where she's at. If she was good enough, she'd be starting enlisted or stakes grade, I would imagine, not a benchmark 84, and using an allowance, a claim. She's trialled up really well, but has she improved? I think they want to find out. She loves Moonee Valley. She knows, you know, she's a track and trip winner there. And gate 2, if they don't jump and use and she gets behind with an inexperienced jockey on her, I'm worried about that. But if she can jump, hold the fence and absorb the pressure from the Gay Ward House Adrian Bock, Call Me Royal, who will come across as well with Jenny Co, Lady Loft. They've got to be on speed. They can't win if they don't use their speed. It sets it up really well for Hal Womantic to dictate terms, and if she has improved and she can hold the fence, she's definitely going to be the horse to beat in the class run in the race. But the horse that I like at a little bit of value with residual fitness is Cordilla. She won four in a row in her first preparation. I loved her turn of foot at Flemington when she was able to relax and settle. All the way through, Danny O'Brien and Damien Oliver were trying to get this filly, this mare now, to settle in her races. She can jump and be there if they want to. But from gate four, I just think she gets that slipstream, one pair back, watch it unfold in front. She's got the acceleration and the turn of foot with residual fitness and that freshen up from that last 1,400 metre win to get them late. And if Al Romantic hasn't improved, then there's a question mark on where she's at. I think Cordilla could be the one to pick her up late. She'll only pick her up late in the last 30 to 20 metres, but I think she's on the upward spiral, and I like the way she's been placed in this race. Oliver, 56, gate 4, filly on the way up.
Very good, Esther. A lot of ticks there. Best of luck, gentlemen. All right, we'll have a look now at race 4. And Juniper is our favourite at $2.40. Shot of Irish at $3.80. Alsvin at $7.50. Odium at $8. Prince Ziggy and First Class Dream are both at $14. The King at $17 SD. And Barry the Baptist, $23. Putnam Invader at, or Invador at $27. Julesy.
Look, there's some speed horses in this race, but they're all in different parts of their prep and they probably don't want to burn it hard. And I speak probably of Shot of Irish, I think, so off 84 days or something. So, yes, his best go when he's hard fit is to go really hard. But off 84 days, yes, they'll roll forward, but I don't think they're going to go at a breakneck speed. I think Alsvin will go forward. His MO now in winning form is to roll forward. Outside of that, First Class Dreamer, Odin, again, they're two horses that I think have to roll forward. Barry the Baptist is off 321 days, so usually rolls forward. So I think they'll probably be a little bit neutral on that horse. It'll be even speed, but it's not a race that usually you'd see Shot of Irish and you go, it's going to be a really genuinely run race. I don't know if it's going to be that fast a run race. It's a really interesting race for me. I marked Juniper $2.10, so he's a bet for me at the current price he is in the market. But I am absolutely petrified of the fact of that inside gate because I think he'll probably get back. Johnny Allen's going to have to he's going to have to weave a path through the field. If he does, he's the winner. His effort first up, I thought, was sensational. He's come back gelded. We know when horses get gelded, they do have progression. 6.5% profit on your turnover since Every Horse in Australia 2016. And I thought his performance behind Showmanship was really good. I loved the market support for this horse that day. Started sort of $8, $9. It was on the back of Showmanship. And this was where it was sort of very hard to make ground on this day. Showmanship did run the last 400, 200 of the day. And I thought Juniper was pretty good. I think 23, 7, 8, 11, 9, 2, last 400, last 200 for a race. I like this performance and I think it sets up really well here. Yes, I'm concerned about the map. You'll also see too its second up record, 0-0-0. Drill down into that a little bit more, punters. I think at his second start he ran in a 1,300 metre maiden. He just wasn't ready. He runs fourth and another time in a really hot race he runs fifth to Colding up in Sydney. So you drill down into those second up stats and they look okay. I think Juniper gets his chance to win and I'm going to be backing him.
Yeah, that I'm going to take him on, Jules, because where he draws in this race. Now, last preparation, he beat Shot of Irish on a good four, similar conditions to what they meet now. He drew eight on that occasion and he was able to sit three pairs back and down the side from the seven to the six into the 500 metre mark. He was able to roll into that race beautifully and then sprint home late and pick up Shot of Irish. There's not much between him in the weights again here and it's a smaller field this time. It was a big field, good genuine speed. Shot of Irish was hard fit on that occasion. I like the fact that Shot of Irish is 3 for 5 first up. He's a very good fresh horse. He's got good track form, but he doesn't have to lead like he did that year when he was taken on from the 800 metre mark and they bored the pressure out of him. His last win, he dead-heated with Plenciel before he had a break, and this is the replay here. And they went hard again. He was taken on by the left of screen horse with the white cap fading now. He was a sitting duck and Plenciel had a beautiful run, two pairs back on the fence, never went around a horse. Have a look at where they spaced the third horse here. Absolutely spaced them. He's had a nice freshen up now. He doesn't have to roll and lead and be taken on in this small field. He sits outside of Alsvin, who comes off two wins and winter track form. If he can take a sit on Alsvin and harness some petrol, and then down the side start to build and wall, and then take away that sprint of Junipel getting out off the fence away from trouble, or Junipel will need to be ridden for a little bit of luck on the fence. It's advantage him, Shot of Irish. He's the horse I want to be riding here because he's such a genuine horse, this horse. And I think that from gate six, Dwayne Dunn will be aware of that. They'll go reasonably slow early and then the tempo will start building. And if Junipel has one little bit of luck, bad luck from gate one, I think it's Shot of Irish. He's the horse that I want to be riding. Odeon will need to run again. Alsvin will lead. Platinum Invader, he's a stayer, he's resuming. It really sets up well for a genuine horse like Shot of Irish.
It's a really good point you mentioned, and also I just want to mention for the punters out there, if you do like Shot of Irish, off the 84 days, he's got a really good first up record, but we've never seen him first up over 1600 metres. I reckon that's actually a positive, so wouldn't be negative on that, because the point is, 84 days, they've got him really fit.
Yeah,
they've got him not half cactus here to work up 1200, 1400. They've got him just about. My suggestion is, looking at it as an analyst, that this horse is pretty fit and he's going to be going forward and be hard to run down if he's first up over 1600 metres. They're putting him in a race that they think he can win straight away. I will also say Wally Platinum Invader. First go, Peter Moody. We saw it last week with Glenn Fittick, Robbie Griffiths to Peter Moody. Market wanted to be with it. When they go change of camps, professionals love it. Peter Moody, this Platinum Invader, I know it's better over further. Don't be surprised to see that trim up.
What was that horse that knocked us out of the quaddy last week, Peter Moody?
In good health.
In good health. We weren't after that, but yeah, Platinum Invador, Julesy. Good luck to Lockie and all the team Mick involved in Juniper. Lockie, massive friends of the show, and obviously we love Junie. All right, let's have a look at race five. Speaking of Juniper, we spoke about showmanship. $2.10 favourite here. Age of Chivalry at $3.20. Felicia at $10. Mandela Effect at $12. Arcanar Star at 15, Chicago Cub 18, Rainbow Thief 19, Goldfields Heptagon both at the $26 there. Julesy, we'll go to you straight away for the track report.
Yeah, the map, mate. And the map's really important here, Wally. It is very, very important. Age of Chivalry, I think, will roll forward. Showmanship's your favourite. I marked him a little bit bigger than what the market is at the moment. He's definitely probably so well in at this race. The key is Willie Pye's got to be forward if he wants to win the race. If they go back like they did last start, he can't win. If he's in the first three, he can win. Age of Chivalry is a horse that was really well supported first up when he went forward and just got beaten by Viridine. It was $4.40 into $4. We can see him here on the inside. That was probably the IG. We call it the inferior ground on the day. But it was a huge performance. He got back to just about his best. Obviously, he's going for the Rupert Clark in 2 weeks. He's going to be hard to run down. I thought showmanship is going to be hard to beat as well. But I thought the one down the bottom, the 9, Felicia, off 70 days, Craig Williams has had one ride for one win. Its effort last start, I thought, was sensational. Last 400, last 200 was the best of the day. And I just thought off the map, it might be able to just sit on Age of Chivalry's back and might just be able to sprint really well. That $9, I'm happy to play each way, Felicia. I marked it a little bit shorter than that, and I wouldn't be surprised to see a trim up. So showmanship, yes. If he can get out to $2.30, $2.40, I'm happy to back him. But at the moment, at that quote of $2, $1.95, I don't want to be there because I just am worried that they ride that horse negatively and he's got none if they do.
The inevitable Land of Plenty and Brave Smash have won this horse in this race in the last 3 years. They're smart horses that went on to group level and become Group 1 contenders, all of them. This race sets up for a horse that fits that mould and that showmanship. I reckon he's something special. He's 6 furlong and 1,400 metre form is absolutely outstanding. He's won 6 from 7. He doesn't have to get this far back. He drew a little awkward on this occasion. There was genuine speed. Tavi, my friend, Junipel left the screen. But just watch his acceleration and turn of foot when Willie Pike says, "Righto, big boy, show me what you got. Show me you're an absolute star and you're the way on the way up." 6 starts, 7 wins. Let me repeat that. He goes to Moonee Valley. He gets in so well. He's an SP star, this horse. Punters love to back him and he doesn't have to get that far back. But what he does sit behind is Felicia taking on Age of Chivalry. Akinar Stark can kick up and hold the fence. He's better probably at 7 furlongs, but he'll hold the fence and be as close as he can with Goldfields. Chicago Cubs, a big improver that can sit on speed. That's enough speed for me if I'm riding showmanship drawn inside to sit there, watch it unfold, pop off the fence at the right time, hitting that 500 Willie Pike. Give him the room and let him use that acceleration. I like him dropping back from 7 furlongs with genuine speed here. He's a star and he's the one we want to be following. He's the one I want to be riding anyway.
Very good. All right, we'll take a break and when we come back, more action from the Valley. Hello, welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. We're going to jump in now. More action from the Valley. We're going to look at race six now. Hanseatic is your $3.20 favourite. Brooklyn Hustle at $4. Balavella at $5. Rulership, Witherspoon, Bonds Away, all at the $9 mark. We jump out from there. Dispatch at 27. Ashore 34. Fine Dane at 40-1. Julesy, we'll go to you, mate, for the map here. There's a bit of talent up the top there.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a good race, and there's going to be a fair bit of speed, I think. Witherspoon, really, its best option is to go forward, go hard. Balavella, we know, rolls forward. It's got a really good record at Moonee Valley, over 1,000 metres as well, first up as well, so you expect it to roll forward. I think Rulership can find a spot. Then you've got Ashlaw, wide gate, but I think it rolls forward. And then you've got a few horses that just have to be negative, and they are probably Brooklyn Hustle, Bonds Away will get back. And Hanseatic, with that gate nine, probably not the greatest gate for this horse because I think it has to go back to last. I mark this horse favourite, but I'm very concerned about its map, that it's going to have to go past and probably have to loop them all to be able to win this race. It's going to take a huge performance from Hanseatic, and it might be a really good three-year-old. We know that they're having a crack at the Moya, so he's going to be around the mix here. A horse that runs second, obviously, in the Diamond is a short price favourite. Three-year-olds in this race don't run a lot, but they have a really good record. 2017 Hootson, $2.45 favourite, runs third. 2015 Furnaces at $5.50 runs third. 2014 Eloping finishes third at $9. And then before that, in 2013, Curacao wins the race at $16. So they don't run it in a lot, but they've got a great record. I marked Hanseatic as the favourite, but I've actually gone and tipped and I'll be backing Rulership just at the price. That $9 mark, I think, is a pretty good price. So I thought this horse was just about off the cliff. I was really disappointed in it first up when it was $2.70 into $2.45 around Caulfield when it led, and I thought it was poor. But last start, in a pretty hot race behind Express Pass, it ran a really good third against the older horses. And I just think it might be the map horse here. I reckon it just might be leaders back and it'll get its chance. Three-year-olds, again, I think this race profiles really well for three-year-olds, and I'm happy to be with Rulership. Fit horse versus, say, Hanseatic, who I think's a better three-year-old, but map and obviously prep as well. Best horse doesn't mean you always win the race, and I'm with Rulership.
I don't think he's any like Russian Revolution, which the team Snowden have been able to win this race with in previous times. He bounces off a benchmark 78 run, Jules, where he ran third, and he's going to be pressured here by the likes of Witherspoon. He's going to be pressured by the likes of Balavella, who comes off a Sangster win, who's hard fit and loves Moonee Valley. She's drawn out deep and she's got to go forward. Dispatch will hold, Ashlaw will be as close as they can, and then Fine Dane. So there's enough pressure there for me to go, is he going that well, Rulership? And lead all the way in this high-pressure race. I know he's got a light weight and he'll take some catching, but not for me. The horse that I really love in this race ran second to the likes of Fartnar last year, and that's Bonds Away, and he was a little bit unlucky on that occasion and he hunted the line well. He's with new trainer from Team Mara and Eustace to Wendy Kelly, and he's trialled up an absolute treat. I was tipping him last time he was meant to run at Moonee Valley when the inclement weather came. Unfortunately, they stopped the race meeting. But he's 0.6 of a length to Nature Strip, this track and trip as well. That's the right form. The horses that have won this, Fartnar, Nature Strip, Chautauqua, Russian Revolution. He's been around these horses, Bonds Away, and he's in the right vein of form. And the run he gets, he's drawn outside of Brooklyn Hustle. So if I'm riding Bonds Away, I want Brooklyn Hustle on my left shoulder behind that wall of Fine Dane, Ashlaw and Dispatch, who are not going to take me into the race with the leaders of Russian Rulership and also Balavella and Witherspoon. So I can get out down the side and get around those horses and ping when I want to. Hanseatic's got to come from behind me, the three-year-old, and Brooklyn Hustle is going to be on my left shoulder. I want all them in the safety net when I press the button on Bonds Away, and he's got the acceleration to get over the top of him in the last 20 metres, and he's a good each way price too.
Very good. We'll have a look at race 7, the Atlantic Jewel now. A couple of horses here jostling for favouritism. Agreeable at $4.20, Aidensfield at $4.40, Night Raid $5.50, River Knight $6.50, Dirty Thoughts $8.50 SD, Clean Machine $14, Ariaf at $17, Gypsy Choice $26, Unstoppable at $27, just over the page there. Incredulous Dream at $34, Julesy.
Yeah, so speed here, look, again, not a huge amount of speed, but I think there's enough horses that want to go forward. Horses like River Knight, horses like Dirty Thoughts, probably Clean Machine, even Night Raid, who won obviously a Tatura in just a maiden, rolled forward, but that obviously was against an easier bunch and they just said go forward and demolish him, and that's what it did. A really good lead-up race is the Quizette that we go to here, which horses like River Knight and Agreeable come out of. So Agreeable with the red hat and River Knight back on the inside. I will say, back on the inside there, River Knight with yellow and Zara colours. That was a really good performance because, again, that was the IG, the inferior ground, and Agreeable was the horse where you go, oh, flashing light, I want to be with it. Just with Agreeable, I think it's a lovely horse, but I just want to see it at 7 furlongs. I'll be backing it third up probably when it gets to 1,400 metres in the Guineas Prelude. Where did I land on this race? It's a very competitive race. There's even horses like Aidensfield I haven't even mentioned. I think it's a really nice horse, but I went with Night Raid. This is a horse that just won a Tatura maiden. Yes, it was just a maiden. Yes, it was just Tatura, but the way it did it was nothing short of outrageous. Starts $1.20. Not many horses can start $1.20. It might have been racing against less inferior horses, but it was still a good performance. SP, great. But what I loved was last 400, last 200 was 0.75 seconds, close to 1 second quicker than anything else on the day. Now, yes, again, the whole meeting at Tatura might have been poor, but to do that in the last 400, last 200 sets up that this horse could be something very, very good and gets its opportunity in this kind of race, draws really well. I love Mark Zara going in the saddle, taking over. All sets up. I think this is a deep race and a good race, SD, but I'm happy to be with Night Raid because I think it might be a nice one going forward.
Typical Group 3 three-year-old fillies early spring where there's a lot of untapped ability and we just don't know quite how good these fillies are going to be at this stage because they're so lightly raced. So what I tend to lean to is a filly that's a winner and knows how to put a field away, and that's Aidensfield. She's 2 from 2. The 1,200 Caulfield, she was able to box seat, and also outside the lead at Sandown, she was able just to take up a nice little spot there. But her acceleration and her will to win, watch her replays and watch her pin her ears back and watch her hunt. She's had a nice freshen up. They put her away and said, seen enough, Team Lindsay Park, and I think she's the right mould. Now, she's drawn a little awkward, but what I like about this race pattern is Mark Sarah will roll forward on Night Raid. Price and Kent like their horses, and she's shown that good gate speed last start at Tatura. She'll probably lead and look to get a soft lead, but River Knight will kick up and come across. Aidensfield can then sit outside Clean Machine. RAF will go back into Glory Ride. We'll just take a sit midfield, and I'm looking at Aidensfield just to sit off that nice speed, not be too far away. And you know what? If I'm 3 deep down the side from the 700 leading into the 500, I'm not going to paddock because I know she's got a really good acceleration. Everything that needs to beat me has to come around me. So I'll ride safely into percentages and be 3 deep down the side within striking distance of Knight's Raid and also Night River, who I think those horses are hard fit and ready to rock and roll. And I want Agreeable back in my left shoulder, sitting back off me to try and round me or ride for a little bit of luck to try and beat me. On with Aidensfield to make it 3 in a row.
Yeah, just with that ST too, I think that horse's got a great chance. And just Aidensfield and Night Raid, both of our selections, they're both coming off wet tracks, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. I know there's plenty of variables in racing, but I think back to a dry, I think they'll both be just as good on a dry as they were on a wet track. So don't be too worried about those two horses coming from a wet to a dry.
And if you're ever going to have a horse that's coming off wet track form, you want them running at Moonee Valley because of the Strathair. It's always a good bit of a give and juice. It's never really rock hard and packed like Caulfield and Flemington. Good fours.
Very good. All right, the last race we're going to go into today, gentlemen, of course, the Fan here. And Surprise Baby is your favourite there at $2.90. Harbour View's $4.20. Siccone at $4.80. Mohammed Ace at $9. Streets of Avalon, $9.50. Coming around $10. Humidor, $27. Exasperate, $41. Tell you what, if you told me Humidor was 27 against this lot a year ago, Jules, I would have laughed at you. But or maybe a little bit longer than that, especially around the Valley, where it's had one of the best seconds of all time against Winx. The map.
Yeah, map's important here. Sir Coney, I think, rolls forward on the quick seven-day backup. It's got a great record on a quick seven-day backup. We know it won the Wintered Championship, the listed race there 4 runs ago. I think it's had 3 goes on the quick seven-day backup for 2 wins and a second or a third. So that's a good profile for that horse. Last week, well, it did everything but win. I think a lot of punters, it was $3.30 into $2.90, heavily supported, but it couldn't get past Peter Moody and Luke Nolan here with In Good Health, 40s out to 80s. But this profile is very similar to what it did before the Winter Championship when it ran a massive peak. It was a slowly run race that time. It was 2,000 metres and I don't think it could get past another horse. It might have been Miramar or something like that. And then it came out and just absolutely exploded in the Winter Championship. Yes, it's got to now go to a Fian, but this is a Group 2 in name only, really. And I think this horse is the fit horse and going to be mighty hard to beat. I just want to talk on a couple of horses. In particular, I want to start with Surprise Baby. This is a horse that's off 305 days and, yes, was very unlucky, ran a great fifth in a Melbourne Cup last year. But off 305 days here, last year it ran in this race off 105 days, started $9 and runs fourth. And now you're taking $2.90 about this horse. Yes, he might have come back better. But geez, you're taking a very skinny price about a horse that we know best is at a Melbourne Cup distance. I'm happy to be around him. Also, Harbour Views is off 70 days. Oh, the market's got him as a superstar. Hasn't started any bigger than $4.80 in 10 starts. Five of them have been shorter than $2. But again, he's got to start doing it. So I went with the fit, hard horse as Sir Coney. And I think Maha Madeus from the same camp might be hard to beat as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's an interesting interesting race now. Regal Power comes out, lung infection. He heads back home to WA, which is a big shame. I was pretty keen on him with the backup with the blinkers off. But anyway, there was an excuse there, so don't wipe him out of your black book on your sports bet app. Sir Coney will roll forward in this race and try and take it up. That's what he likes to do and get into a nice bowling rhythm. Streets of Avalon will work across with him and be right on his hammer. At some stage along the back, when they bowl down that hill from the mile, they'll try and just back it up and get into a nice rhythm. That means Harbour Views can sit box seat. He only beat O'Torto and WT last preparation. He's first up at Wait for Age, box seat, inside gate. Not quite sure about him, want to see it. Coming around will be one out, one back, and then Exasperates the Fly in the Ointment. Where will he try and fit in? What I think this does is it sets up nicely. Nice, genuine speed. They'll try and control it. I like a horse like Muhammad Deus, who ran second in this race last year. He was able to sit fifth off the likes of Holmesman, who won it, who sat up on speed. And the reason that I like him is because he was only second up last year when he went into this race, and he wasn't as good as what he is now. He had two hurdle trials to switch him on. He wins a 2,300 metre, and then he wins again over 2,040 metres here. He's good on a dry track, and he's very good in this race over the mile. He's hard fit. He's been freshened up by Nick Ryan, who's absolutely flying. And he sits back off, and he's that horse that can make a run down the side and be right on their hammer. With that, he leads in Surprise Baby. Can he sprint and be as hard fit as a Muhammad Deus is right now? I'm not quite sure. Last year when Surprise Baby ran fourth in this race, rode him for luck, bang, bang, plucking holes, and then got out and worked out nice. To come around the likes of Muhammad Deus and join in the Sir Coneys and Streets of Avalon, I'm not quite sure. Humidor gets back on the fence and then tries to follow all of them. I think it sets up really well. I'll talk about the tactics in this race a little bit more in martial law later on.
You certainly will, SD. Just before we go to the break, Julesy?
Just very quickly, you did mention Humidor. Blinkers go on again. Lugging bit goes on, tongue tie again. Off 70 days, $27, have something on. Just don't be surprised he runs a massive race. I know he's theoretically gone. He might run a bit of a race on Saturday. Be careful.
Last roll of the dice, though, if doesn't.
Absolutely.
Bin. Yep. Okay, great. When we'll take a break now. When we come back, martial law. I'll tell you what, SD, that has got to be in the top three or four stingers on the show. All right, we're going to have a look in detail now at the feature, at the Fian, race 8. You're going to take us through the map. You've got a replay for us, mate. Over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the reason I wanted to show you this run of Muhammad Deus dropping back from the 23 to the 2040 is his ability to absorb pressure. And you watch these tearaway leaders from the 800 metre mark, they got going. Tabby Run ends up overtaking the eventual leader here, and it's left a very big flat spot here for Polly Gray to try and work in the grey horse. And then you've got Muhammad Deus off the bridle. He doesn't look like he can win here, but he's carting the rest of the field up. And this is what you love about his fitness and the great vein of form he's in. Tabby Run looks home. But watch Muhammad Deus here. He sat in this similar position, 4-5 back last year when he ran second in the Fian, which we're going to have a look at talking tactics. Watch him savage the line for a big horse at Moonee Valley. He's very good. He's had a four-week freshen up. Nick Ryan's stable absolutely flying. He knows he ran second in this race last year. It's a target race to run in the Fian. So let's have a look at the speed map this year, shall we? So Coney, Julesy's mentioned that he's the horse he wants to be on the backup. He's got very good figures from the Winter Championship victory. He'll roll forward down the hill from the mile and try and control. The Streets of Avalon will be very positive. I reckon Exasperate first run at the Wait for Age here. He's a fly in the ointment. He's not quite up to this mark, but Matty Brown's having a throw at the stumps. He'll jump, be positive, because he can't get back and sprint with Muhammad Dias or Surprise Baby or a Humidor at Wait for Age level. He'll come across. I think that leaves Harbour View's first up fresh in a box seat. Or will he kick up and try and lead? There's another battle of tactics there rolling down to that first bend. So a little bit of pressure. Coming around wants to sit one out, one back. So if that's the case, and it looks like this speed map, Saucony will lead, Streets of Avalon outside him, Harbour View's box seats, and then coming around one out, one back with Exasperate 3 deep. Muhammad Ace comes back, he's two pairs back, and he gets that beautiful wall in front of him. Now, if I'm riding Muhammad Dias, I'm really aware of what speed they go from the 1,000 to the 8 to the 700 metre back straight run. And if they're going nice and slow or whatnot, I want to be popping out 3 deep and I want to be leaning up on Exasperate and be right on their hammer at the 600 metre mark because I'm fit. I'm coming off a mile and a quarter gallop to the mile and I know I can run this trip really well because when the sprint goes on building from Saucony down the side, Harbour View's, if you're riding Harbour View's, just ride for luck box seat because Saucony will cart you into the race and so will Streets of Avalon. He's placed at the mile. If I'm riding Humidor, I'm following Harbour View's and I'm waiting for coming around and the likes of Exasperate to drop off and either get on the back of Muhammad Dias and Surprise Baby who have to get going down the side and the wall and build up. So watch Muhammad Dias, two pairs back from the 650, start creeping because he's hard fit from that mile and a quarter win which we just saw and beyond the hammers of Saucony and Streets of Avalon, keep Harbour View's in a pocket, Humidor and make Surprise Baby go around me. Tactically, that's how I want to ride to win the Fian.
Key takeaways there, Steve, we're going to leave the punters?
Yes, genuine speed in this race and it'll be building speed from the 800 metre, 700 metre side. And the pattern on the day is crucial. Wait to see how Moonee Valley is racing because if it is and it's electric on the fence, Saucony, Streets of Avalon comes into play and then you'll see the likes of Harbour View's probably kick up and try and lead early doors and ask the question. So it's fascinating. Watch how this track pattern plays out when we get to race eight.
Fascinating, as always, from USD. Absolutely love this segment. Thank you very much. Julesy, we're going to go to you now because we're going to have a look at a couple more future markets. This is becoming very popular with our punters too.
Yeah, so what we're going to try and do here is I'm trying to identify two races for the futures markets. Now, I know punters want to have a bit of a long-range play and usually they're looking at the Caulfield Cup, Cox Plate, the two Guineas and the Melbourne Cup. We're going to go away from that because I don't think there's any edge in trying to find the winner of those because they're usually well found. What we're trying to do is we're trying to find races that may not have bigger fields. And I start with the Underwood Stakes, 1,800 metre race. Now, you've got to understand where this race sits. So we'll keep this up for a little bit just so I can understand where this sort of race sits. It sits 2 weeks after the Mackay. So the Mackay's next week and you're going to see a horse like Russian Camelot run favourite in that at about 3-1 at the moment. And you look at this field and you go, Arcadia Queen possibly cast, Kingswell Dream won't go there, Darla Sam won't go there, Master of Wine won't go there, Regal Power's obviously gone, Mystic Journey's back in Tasmania, Showmanship won't go there, Fierce Impact won't go there. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find a horse or horses that might go there. And over the page then we've got a couple that I think possibly could go there. The key with this also is this is a pre-noms market. So what happens is these horses have to nominate the Monday for the Saturday, so you don't have to nominate 2-3 weeks or months out in advance like you do for the Guineas and the Cups. You only have to nominate on the Monday. They nominate on the Monday, most likely going to accept on the Wednesday and run on the Saturday. There's your little edge, and I think there's three horses out of the Underwood I think you can have a little bit of a play at. They are Russian Camelot. Now, the reason I'm saying Russian Camelot is, if he comes out and wins the Mackay, he's going to get a double penalty into the Turnbull Stakes. Yes, he probably wants to get to 2,000 metres, the Turnbull, but they might not go there because he's going to have to carry a big weight. Superstorm's the other one, which I thought was first up, was very good, and Toffee Tongue's another one that'll run in the Mackay on Saturday. I don't know if she's good enough to win a Turnbull, but she can win an Underwood Stakes. The other race, quickly I'll get up, is the Caulfield Stakes. Again, this is another race. 2,000 metres, a little bit of a less. It's a week after the Turnbull. It's 2 weeks out from the Cox Plate, and it's 1 week before the Caulfield Cup. The three horses I'm looking at for this race, again, Russian Camelot, I think at that price of $6.50, this horse won't nominate if it's not going there. So you're going to get your cash back. But you're getting $6.50 about a horse that's starting $3 in a Mackay next week. There's value there for Russian Camelot, knowing it's a free hit. The other two horses I'm going to mention are Avilius at $21. He runs in the Chelmsford on Saturday. That camp knows they can't win a Turnbull Stakes, so they're not going to go to the Turnbull Stakes. Can't win it. But they can win a Caulfield Stakes at 2,000 metres, and $21, if he goes there, he's not going to be. And the other one I want to mention is Dr. Drill. He's at 100-1. I thought he was pretty good first up. Yes, he's not a weight for age horse, but the Caulfield Stakes, past history, hasn't been a very hot race, and sometimes you can get in under the guard, and he can win his way into a Caulfield Cup by winning the Caulfield Stakes at 100s. Just a bit of an edge there, punters, that I think you can have a go because they're free hits with the prenoms.
Very good, Julesy. I'll tell you what, that's why you watch Three Wide No Cover. How good's that for info? We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to go all the way around the country to find you some winners. How good's that? Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. This is the Wolf of Wally Street. This is where I find you all your winners for the weekend from all around the country with a little bit of help from the guys. Julesy, we'll start with you, won't we?
What, in Perth or something like that?
In Perth,
I don't have one because what? it's not Wolf of Wally Street. It's around the country.
And
it's just whatever. Anyway, the point is, I did like one, but it's too short. $1.35, we can't back that. But,
What's his name?
Montalina.
Oh.
Expected to win.
So if he's just tipped it. He's told us the price.
I just said it's too short.
It's fair enough too. Yeah. SD, why don't we start with you in South Australia, mate?
What price would you back it at?
$1.65. If we can get to that, I'll take
not
it.
Not getting there.
Nah, it's not going on. Just don't put a graphic up. Where am I going, Wally?
South Australia.
Am I? Fantastic. I've got one for you here. Shijiki. Jeez, I love this horse here. She's a big girl. She won on debut. She was favourite $3.90 into $3.70. She was caught deep, hit the front early doors, but I love the way she powered to the line. She gets 56 here. Now, she's by Reduce Choice from the Philip Stokes stable. She's in at the right time of the year. She's got bigger fish to fry. I like her drawn out a little bit. Race 5-9.
Anything in Adelaide for you?
In SD we trust. Third of a second inside standard time, that race you speak of for Shijiki. So I think sometimes there's a bit of a concern going second start, but nah, nice horse. I expect it to be winning as well.
That is awesome. Great news. We love when you're on the same theme. We'll go to Queensland SD. What do you got?
Yeah, 6-6. Malahide's back here. Beat some really handy horses when last in work in Panino, Boomtown Lass. Made ground on Invincibella and Irathea. Magic Millions, Fillies and Mares Day. Geez, her trial was absolutely outstanding. And she's a four times winner at this trip. She's back. Race 6, number 6, Doomben.
And Julesy, anything in Queensland for you?
Nope.
Oh, there you go. Just bringing heaps to the table today. Esther, you'll have one in Sydney. I know Jules doesn't.
Yeah, very aggressive placement here by Chris Waller, but I don't mind it with Karen McAvoy to ride in the saddle. Race 1, number 10, Harto. Loved her soft win at Gosford. Now, it's very compatible to the benchmark 78 in terms of times on the day. She's had three trials leading into this. Waller's got her ready and they've settled her in every trial and have not let her go. 54 kilos, gate 2 by Fastnet Rock. Guess who she's out of? More Strawberries. Oh, what was she?
That was going to be my guess.
It was my second. That's all right, game. Yes. Now, I'll tell you what, we haven't had one since the new format on Wolf of Wally Street. We haven't had a tip from either of you in Melbourne outside of what we've already covered on the show. But, Julesy, I said you haven't brought much to the table, but you've got one early on in the at the Valley.
I do. Race 2, number 14, Shandy. Gets to come back a better horse off a 254-day layoff. Won first up in good time, three-quarters of a standard inside standard time. Then last start, very slowly run race, but last 400, last 200, best of the day by far, 22.39, 11.54. Gets up to 1,600 metres, and I'm not worried about this genuine tempo in this race. Last prep, 1,600 metres at Ballarat, was half a second inside standard time. Jamie Carr, two rides, two wins. I'm keen on this horse.
The only time I've seen you have a Shandy is when the barman said, after your 15th cocktail, that's it. You have to go something softer.
No, my cocktails, you've got to have some level of beer in you. Julesy, obviously that's your best of the weekend then. SD, if you're going to back one horse, which would it be?
5-6, Showmanship. He's something special and he'll win over 6 furlongs at the Valley.
Very good. All right. Horses that we may think are better off backing on the day can definitely win. But, Julesy, if you were going to wait to the jump, who would you be getting around here?
Yeah, I just think Hanseatic, probably like Price, I think it's going to drift. Yes, it's a three-year-old. They might want to be with it, but just the map's awful. So I think if you want to back that horse, just wait till the death. And the other one's Surprise Baby. $2.90 for this horse at the moment. Yes, we think it's going to be the next Farlap, but at the moment he hasn't been able to do it and I think they're going to take a set against him.
Yeah, bigger fish to fry there for Surprise Baby, I understand that. Lockie McKenzie, we love you, brother. I love you, brother. You know I do. But Junipal drawn one, getting back in an awkward spot. I'm going to have to take you on around the valley in a small field. Can win, but at that price, I'm taking a set.
I'm flat after that, SD. We'll go to a break. Sorry. Come back with the quaddie. straight back in with the quaddy. That's right. We're going to launch in. We missed last week because of a very big priced winner in the second. But we got the other three legs and we looked okay, SD. So we're hitting some form. What do you got for us this week?
Yes, in good health. Chopped us out last week. Here we go. Race 6, Mooney Valley, 1,000 metre gallop, Bonza Way, 3, Bella Vella, Brooklyn Hustle, Hanseatic and Rulership Julesy.
Yeah, I think we're at those 2 3-year-olds. I'm with that one. I'm happy.
Aight.
Aight.
Race 7, 1,200 metre 3-year-old fillies. River Knight, get it right. Number 2, Aidensfield, get it right. 8, Agreeable and 9, Knight Rapid. So,
Rapid Knight, flying. Don't worry, we'll put the numbers up so you can just
make something
of that.
Right. Oh, yes.
Third leg, SD.
Rapid Knight it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Knight Raid.
Is it?
Knight Raid.
Knight Raid.
Come on.
Okay, let's have a look at the feed now. This is a Group 2 level and you want to put Humidor in.
I do. He's just bizarrely.
Okay. Surprise Baby goes in, Mohammedius, Sirconi and Harbour Views. And race 9, we're putting in De Beer, Credence, also Rivette Delight, and Skelm's got to go in, and $100, 25%.
Happy with that, Julesy. Thanks for your inputs. First time you've actually put one in.
No,
come on. Puts him in each week.
Come on.
Kenzie doesn't like him. All right, big shout out this week. Obviously, we lost one of the greats in the racing industry, Sub-Zero. Guys, here's Subby winning the 1992 Melbourne Cup. I was on Viander Cross, but if Viander Cross was going to lose 20 horse, I was glad it was Subby. Is there a horse that's ever meant more to this industry after it won a Melbourne Cup than winning the actual Cup, Jules? Is that fair?
Best ambassador for horse racing by the length of the Flemington Straight as he's there just sipping down one cold one there. He and Graham, obviously, in that shot as well, it was synonymous together. Just outstanding for what they did for racing yesterday.
He was a phenomenal thoroughbred from the age of 2 to whenever he retired to win a Melbourne Cup and become an unbelievable stayer. But just the way it became the people's horse.
Yeah.
And there should be a statue of himself and Graham
100%.
Erected at VRC.
There you go. Well said. Look, thanks for watching again. If you're going to have a punt on the weekend, please gamble responsibly. Have a great weekend.